Reading of the Word. We will be reading from the weeping prophet, Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah is sorrowful. Jeremiah is writing words that no one is listening to. No one cares about what Jeremiah has to say. No one cares about the warnings. Blah, blah, blah. We've heard it before. We're going to hear it again. Jeremiah, you're wasting your time. Not one person believed in the word of Jeremiah. Not one Israelite was converted back. Not one Israelite repented. And they mocked him, and they pushed him away, and they threw him into prison. Did everything but short of kill him. The man of God that was just simply trying to give a word. I'm not even close to hinting that I feel like Jeremiah, so do not read it in that context. I'm really talking about Jeremiah. Everybody understand that? So that's the context of what's happening. But in the middle of all that, he still receives a word of God for a people that did not listen to him, that did not care about anything he had to say. He still penned a word. In fact, when you hear the scriptures say that it was like a fire shut up in his bones, it was because he did not want to give it. He did not want to release the word. But when a fire is there, fire makes you do kind of uncontrollable things. Man, I got burned the other day. It was your fault, by the way. I didn't have the right hand utensils to get some out of the oven, but the ones that were there I thought were sufficient enough. And they weren't. Still bothering me. So when I touched it, I reacted immediately. So when the word of God got a hold of Jeremiah, it was a fire shut up in his bones. And he had to react to what was inside of him. And regardless of how people received him, he says, I got a word to release to you. Well, thank God we can receive the word that was written by holy men of old as examples for us. And Jeremiah wrote this in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Father, in the name of Jesus, you want to give your intent for your church. Enlighten our understanding. Your word is already anointed, so anoint our ears and our heart to receive the word of revelation freshly upon our soil. Let it be good ground. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Let the church say amen and clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of the Lord. I haven't preached you guys in about 2 weeks, so it feels like forever. We had Pastor Fair here, then we had Brother Parker here. Praise God, now I get to preach the church. Is that all right? A huge struggle for many people in this life is they do not know their purpose. They do not know why they were born or why they were placed here. And because they do not know what their purpose or place is here, then their imagination connects with the imaginations of others that too do not know their purpose. And they begin to live a life that is filled with a life that says, I'll live my life according to my emotions. I will live my life according to my feelings. I will live my life according to my desires, my likes, in order to attempt to find my place. Ah, this is what life is about and what I was created for in all of the searching that goes on. And we are all included in that. I had many opportunities in my dealings with people, and I found that more people than not are people that are doing what they want to do, but they are not being who are they supposed to be. What I mean by this, they can be doing the work thing, and they should. They are doing the family thing, and they should. They are living their lives the way they want to, and of course they should. And we've heard it all over and over, time and time again, that people will say, I'm just doing the best that I can. But yet, in the middle of trying to do the best that I can, still something is missing. Something is finding myself falling short. We all know that there are many people, and I do not make fun, I'm not being sarcastic, why there's so many medications out there. I can never go to the pharmacy and get some medication for Devin without a long line. Am I the only one? Why? Because there's something going on. And that's why there are so many people in drug addictions and abusive things that they are part of and fantasy worlds. And because all of it is utopian wishes that if I'm able to go after many things, then maybe something will give me meaning and purpose in my life. But they negate the fact that they are who. They're not who they want to be. They're just doing things. Now, don't be fooled in thinking that people have their issues and their problems because they have nothing to do. They move in these places of depression and frustration and weariness and hopelessness because at the thing that they understand is that they do plenty of business, they do plenty of workings and goings on, but nothing of that brings ultimate satisfaction for their life. And I see them every week, and you do too. The only true way anyone is going to have any type of true satisfaction is being who they are supposed to be rather than just doing what they are supposed to or want to do. If we're ever going to have any type of satisfaction, anything that's worth anything at all has to go to the manufacturer's label and find out what it was intended for, what it was made for. And I want you to know that God has an intention for every single one of us, and doing things won't be the reverse of trying to find who you are, because you will continue to go around in circles over and over again. And in this message, I want you to understand the principle that in the kingdom that we recognize that God knows the thoughts that he has towards us, and they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give us an expected end. And so the first thing I want you to understand here in the scripture, and what I want you to notice, is the wording of the statement, God knows the kind of thoughts that he has towards you. It says that very clearly, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God knows the kind of thoughts that he has towards us. We need to get to a place where the thoughts of others don't get in the way of God's thoughts about us. Too many times we can get caught up in what other thinks about us, and it distracts us from what God thinks about us. Hey, I don't know about you. I want to be more concerned about what God says about me, about what God says who I am. And I refuse to listen to the lies of the enemy or anybody else, but I will believe in the report of Almighty God. Others may think this about you, and others may think that about you. And because they think this and that about us, there is a tendency for us to believe what they say, and then it can hinder what you really are. Some may say that you are never going to be anything, and so you don't try. Because somebody told you you'll never amount to nothing. So you can cross your arms and fold your lips. I mean, stick your lip out and just say, well, people don't believe in me. I've been called a failure, or that I don't have what it takes to make anything of myself. And negativity is all around you. But I point you to a man named David, who had brothers that had his name in that negative same context. And they were saying when he came to battle, they said it was because of your pride. You wanted to see what was going on in battle. They said it is the naughtiness of your heart that you had come to the battle. That was their perception of the situation, but that was not God's intentions. God put it on the heart of David's father, Jesse, to go send David to the battle, not to be a cheese delivery boy, but to rescue a nation. And let me tell somebody right here that you might feel like that God is sending you to do small, minuscule things, but God might be setting you up with the greatest moments of your life. And so when you get sent out to do a small thing, do it in the name of the Lord. God might be setting you up right now. Whatever you are dealing with, take it a hold and say, this might be God working out something in my life. In verse 12, we see in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says that Jesse had 8 sons. And in verse 13, it says that only the 3 oldest went to fight in Saul's army. That meant boy number 4, boy number 5, boy number 6, and boy number 7 could have been sent on that delivery of cheese to the brothers. They, of course, were older, so therefore they were stronger. They probably had more mental capacity to handle what was going on at the site of the battle. But God did not send son 4, 5, 6, and 7. He sent the youngest one. Why? God was orchestrating something in the youngest to go. And that was because God had an intention for the life of David. God had a certain intent that he wanted to do for David. God might be ordering your steps right now, and you don't know why you're the one that has to go through what you're going through, but can I tell somebody, it just might be a setup from God. It might be something that God has orchestrated, and you might say, how come you didn't send somebody else to go through this battle? How come you didn't send somebody else to go through this storm? God might be trying to set you up for the greatest blessing you had ever been able to obtain. Sometimes you must be obedient in delivering the cheese, or doing the insignificant things, or simply finding yourself being faithful, and you just trust in God day in and day out. Because if you're faithful, then God might say, I am going to bless the faithful ones. When I look up and down the scripture, God blessed those that stayed consistent and with their mind on God. You see, it was David that was found in the backside of a desert that prayed and worshiped God in secret. When you continue to pray and worship God in secret, God might set something up you don't understand, but that might be your moment of elevation. Is there anybody here that wants to just trust God and say, God, if you want to use it for my elevation, then so be it. I will trust in you. So when his brothers had one idea about the reason for which David was there, David could not help himself and said this phrase, and I paraphrase it. David says, you can say whatever you want. You can misinterpret my motives if you want to. And then he says, what I think is the most important thing, we always jump right to the statement that David says, is there not a cause? Have you heard that before? And we say, man, David was mighty. He had an anointing upon him. He said, is there not a cause? But he didn't say that first. That's not the first thing that he says. The first thing he says was, what have I now done? ? I'm preaching to you about God's intent for the church. And so, yes, he says, is there not a cause? But when they misinterpreted the reason for him being there, and he heard Goliath saying all kind of bad things about the children of Israel, he says, what have I done? You know what he says? I did not get to this point in my life by myself. I was sent here on assignment from my father. And because my father sent me here, that's why I'm here. I didn't put myself here. I didn't ask to come here. I didn't ask God to place me here, but since he brought me here, I'm saying it's not my fault, but since I'm here, is there not a cause? If God has brought you here, say it ain't my fault, but there's something that God is trying to do in my life. What have I done was not a question. It was only a question and a statement. He was saying, this wasn't my idea. This wasn't what I expected. I did not know what was going on in this battle, but someone greater than me intended me to be here right now. And so now, since I see a need, I am going to fulfill a need. And this giant trying to intimidate God's people, there's a cause for me to fight. I need every one of us to understand you are warriors in the kingdom of God. And God brought you here for such a time as this. It might have been an assignment for somebody else, but you must take a personal, praise God, interest in this and say, I didn't come here on my own accord. I didn't come to Lighthouse Church on my own. It was a father that sent me here. And is there not a cause to reach out to the lost and dying world? Is there not a cause to see disciples? Is there
going to call for somebody to repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost? Is there not a cause for someone to be delivered from the strongholds of the enemy? Is there not a cause? We're not here by ourselves. We were chosen for a purpose. God has an intention for us. Are we ready to say it's God's work that I must be doing? And not only can I worry about the negative words of my brothers as David did, I'll tell you what's worse than the negative words of our brothers. It's the negative words that we have about ourselves. Our problem is not what our brother or our sister. Our problem is how we see ourselves. That's a bigger problem. We can get by sometimes with what other people think about us. And that's one thing to say about that. But the biggest hurdle and the biggest problem is our own flesh, is our own will and our own mindset. And I'll prove it to you in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They allowed themselves to be smaller than what they really were. And there are many people that are not walking in the blessings of God because of your own negative self-image. You must get beyond that and say, I am what I am. I am what God intended me to be, and I refuse to miss my promised land and the blessings that God has for my life. I want it, so therefore I'll throw in my own stinking thinking and say, God, whatever you intended me to be, then that's what I am. Now let me bring it down a little bit more. How would a Hebrew person interpret the words that he knows the thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil? The way they would have received it was from the Hebrew word makashbeth. And believe me when I tell you, that is a word with a contriving of something, the making of something of like texture or a machine. It is the idea of the master artist or builder contriving something in his mind and then putting it on paper and then actually building it or woving it or inventing it. The idea was there was a previous intention already in the mind of the creator that what it was going to be before it was actually made. I hope I'm not preaching too deep here this morning. I want everyone to understand that God is the great creator, and God has already intended the blessings upon your life. God has already purposed favor upon your life. But we must get in our hearts that I cannot believe the lies of the enemy, and I also cannot believe the lies that I put on myself. I must believe that God has a great plan for me in the kingdom of God. Is there anybody that can say amen? I know I'm here because God called me here. He is a master builder, and he has intended me to be successful. So I say yes to the plan of God. In order for us to know our purpose, we need to understand our God who made us. We need to allow our minds as well as our hearts to grasp that we have a God that has previously contracted an invention for us to walk in his God-given intention, and that would be a place of peace and not of evil, a place of safety and not of danger, a place that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No matter what battle I'm facing right now, I know what God intended me to be, and that is the head and not the tail. The place of evil. So now it's self-identification time. Only you can determine if you're on the right side of God's intent for your life. Either it's peace or the evil place, a place of calamity, a place of chaos, a place of confusion, a place of constant grief, a place of affliction, a place of trouble. And many people, you're finding yourself in those places. And I'm here to tell you what God's intent for you is. It's not of those evil things, but of peace, praise God, and a place of safety. That's what God intends you to be. And many of us have found ourselves in that place because, why? We are not operating in what God's intention for us. We have accepted that evil environment, and that's not God's will. And that's why Joshua said in Joshua 1 and and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Before he went and fought one battle, he had an understanding. God said, this land is mine. And I pray people will get inside their spirits that whatever God has for me is for me. And so if I'm walking in fear, I bind it in the name of Jesus. If I'm walking in chaos, I say, this is not God's allotment for my life. This is not God's intention for my life. I come against those things. But guess what? Again, I must open up my mouth and say what Joshua said. I know I can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God's intention for me. So God is not random. God has set expectations for his intentions for his creation. And obviously, one of his creation, of course, the most important one was man. And there was an intent for that man to have relationship with the Lord and for that man to have dominion on the earth. God's intentions were good, but man did not follow along God's intentions for themselves. And God placed them in an unimaginable, beautiful garden and allowed them to eat of the tree of life because his intentions were to commune with them and to be with them. But we all know the story. Man fell, man sinned. And after God removed him from the garden, we know that he intended to raise up people that would be a separate people through the man named Abraham, the people of Israel, the descendants of the man of faith, Abraham. But they too, as a whole, did not follow the intentions of God Almighty. But what do we find in Scripture? That God had another intention that was hidden, that would reveal that he would not just touch only the Jewish people. God had an intention that, yes, I called Abraham, and yes, the Jews are my special people. But there's something I have hidden, and there is going to be not only one nationality or not only one group of people that will live up to my intentions, but he had an intention, and he had a program that was not going to fail. He had a program that would not be defeated by any way, shape, or form. He had an intent that his love would be expressed through the weaving or was already in his mind. The intent that he said, I will not fall short. I will not be defeated. Of all those that take part of this intention, these people, these separate people, would walk in victory. These people would walk in power. These people would walk in peace. These people would walk in authority. These people would walk with joy. These people would walk in boldness. I'm kind of questioning right now if any of those people are even in the house this morning. Because when you know who you are, you can be in agreement to what God says you should be. And so I'm here to proclaim to this apostolic church, it's time for us to rise up and be what God has intended us to be. And tell the devil, you are a liar. God has already intended for me to have joy. God has already intended for by his stripes I am healed. God has already intended that if I suffer with fear or depression, when I come into his will, when I come into his intentions, it can't stay on me no more. Because God says, I had in my mind that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I am calling a people that would understand they walk in strength and not a place of weakness. I pray every week we come in here with our shoulders square and our head up. I promise you guys, I'm trying to change our mentality. I'm not here saying just feed me, I'm weak. I'm saying I'm strong, but God, I want a little bit more. I got some more devils I want to cast. What I'm trying to do is to get us beyond weak Christian mentality that I just barely got to the house of God. I mean, every week you barely get here that you won't got the real thing. We got to change our mindset. Is the Holy Ghost real or not? Sometimes we act like the Holy Ghost is so weak. Because again, it's not what somebody else puts on us. Woo! It's what we put on ourselves. What we say wrong. But I gotta say what David said. I was glad when they said it at me. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Jesus said, time cometh, and now is, that the worshipers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. The true church are worshipers. The true church does not, hear me, the true church does not have to be pumped, does not have to be primed, does not try to get warmed up. The true church walks in truth. I know I'm favored, so I will yet praise him. I know God does all things well, so I'm going to praise him. I know I'm in a storm, but I walk with the one who walks on the water. You see, it's a different mentality. I know the giants are on the other side, but that's why I'm so excited. I get to beat the giants. Can you imagine what happened to David when he showed up? He says, I didn't bring myself here, but I spent with God alone. And so when the enemy comes, I'm not running away from him. And that's what I'm trying to get us to understand here this morning. God's intent for me is to be victorious. I'm not running from my enemy. I'm not running from my fears. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't go have a prayer meeting. He already had it in him. He had already been anointed. And what God is trying to do in this church is start telling some anointed people, why don't you just walk in your anointing? I want someone to stand up and get out in the aisle right now. And you can walk in the aisle, you can walk around, and you're just walking in your anointing. I am anointed. God has intended for me to win. And so God has already given me a specific intention. And so when I'm not walking in that intention, I don't cry and fuss. I say, devil, let's go to battle. Let's go to war. I've already been called victorious. I'm not going to sit back and be on the defenses. David did not wait anymore. David went forward. David went marching. David went swinging. I want some apostolic people to say, I know who I am. I know what God's intentions are for me. I'm going to fight my enemy. I am bold. I am victorious. I have power. I have peace. I have authority. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's right. Grab it, grab it, grab it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. When I go down and when I leave heaven, I mean, let's think about it. What kind of foolishness is it for God Almighty to robe himself in flesh and die, and the people that they die for act like a whole bunch of wussies and weaklings? That doesn't even make any sense. What a waste of time. What a waste of time. And maybe that's why the angel said they couldn't understand it. Because there are going to be some people, Lord, when you go down and die for them, they're not going to get it. And the Lord says, yeah, but there'll be a few. There's going to be a few that says, he didn't die for me to walk in depression. What kind of mess is that? He didn't die for me to be weak, worried, full of fear, complaining, and murmuring. What kind of waste of time is that? And so he rose with all power and sent his spirit to say, I'm leaving you with power. Who is it for? The true church, not members of a group of people, but the true church will always open their mouth and say, I know what God's intention is for me. You might not get it, but for me, we go walk over the promised land. As for me, we're going to take the land. As for me, we're going to walk in the power of God. Now listen to this as I'm wrapping it up. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard the dispensation of grace which is given me toward you, how that by revelation have made known the mystery, as I wrote in a few words afore, whereby when you read you may understand the knowledge of the mystery in Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. Now watch this, that the Gentiles, that's us, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and the partakers of his promise in the Christ by the gospel. There are certain intentions that God says I now revealed that was once hidden that I need you to grab a hold of. In the Old Testament, it might be hidden, but now through my son, I have redeemed the power of my spirit that's supposed to be in the Gentile believers. Wherefore, Paul says, I am made a minister according to the gift of grace God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. His power is effectual. His power is effective. Activate the power of God in your life. Add him to the equation and you're always going to be on the side of victory. Don't speak negative things. Say, I'm empowered by the word of God. I got the faith of God in my life. I'm going to win over every addiction, over every sin, over every barrier, over every doubt, over every fear. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. It's mine. It's mine. I am victorious. I am empowered. I can walk in victory. I can walk in strength. I can walk with the joy of the Lord. It is my strength. It's a promise of God. It's mine. It's effectual. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. And you know who it's real for? Paul said, it's real for me. And I am the least of all saints. So whatever pecking order you identify yourself in, whatever level of spirit maturity you call yourself, Paul said, I'm below that, and I still got power. I still got anointing. So can I put a PS here? Tell the devil, I'm all that not because of myself. I'm all that because the price that Jesus paid. And so I do not have it all together. I'm the least of the saints, but God's intention for me is all that. And so long God intends for me, I'm gonna walk in victory. So long as God intends for me, no weapon formed against me is gonna prosper. So long God's hands on my life, I shall not be defeated. So long as the Lord is on my side, I shall not fear what man can do to me. Oh yes. So, because of the grace of God given, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's some rich stuff we should be feeling and moving in. And because of that, to make, now hear this, we think we're supposed to be passive. We think we're supposed to be all humble and let everybody walk on us. No. We're not supposed to boast in the Lord. We're supposed to be the victims all the time, all the time. This is happening to me. This is happening to me. And we're not but reactive. That happens, so I got to respond this way. That happens, so I got to be responsive. I'm always responding. Aren't you tired of responding? Wow. Here's revelation. When I first started my job, Now, promise you, there's a rhyme to my reason. When I first started my old job, I don't have it no more. Don't worry. When we had to dispatch the police department, they would always say, are you notifying or responding? And talk about total confusion. I'm calling you right now. I'm on the phone talking to you. What do you mean? Am I notifying or responding? And someone had to explain it to me. Notifying means you are now making known to them what's going on. But responding means you're calling them, letting them know somebody's already on their way. I'd never got that revelation till about 10 seconds ago. And now it makes sense. It's not God's will for us to just keep on notifying and notifying about God. Here's my problem. There's my problem. It's about us responding and saying the word is already on its way. The answer is already there. I'm already tapping into it. I'm already letting you know that there's someone higher than me that already had an intention for me. He's already intended for me to be victorious. So I serve everybody. Notice, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to conquer. So what he says, and to make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery? It's time for us to shine so bright that everyone sees clearly that you've got to be a Christian because you go through the same things I go through, but you don't act the same way I act, and you're showing them the mystery. It was hid before, but now because of revelation, you get it, and you know how to praise God in the middle of your storm, and you know how to dance and shout and act a fool for Jesus because you know he's already on his way. It was already given to you from the beginning in the word of God. Prove it, Pastor Barlow. Well, let me read the rest of the verse. Ephesians 3:9. Which from the beginning. I know Marco's getting it. I want you to see it. To make all men. You got to start going everywhere. And you got to start thinking. I got to make you see that God's in my life. I got to make you see that there's something special about me. My actions must show you there's something inside of me that's greater than what I'm dealing with. I need you to see that that problem I used to have, I don't have anymore because the mystery of God has been revealed to my mind. There's a revelation that I don't have to think that way, act that way, talk that way, be that way. I know who I am and God has great intentions for me. So I'm going to start changing my words and change my behavior. Why? The mystery is revealed. Which from the date of your birth? It goes before that. The date of your problem? What problem date do you have on it? Think about this. Think about 3 years ago, the problem you had. How'd you get out of it? Is the problem you're dealing with now the first problem you've ever had? Well, then maybe you got something to talk about. But I got stamp date and times of hard situations in my life, and yet I'm still here. Why? Because he already worked it out from the beginning. It's already okay. It's already been worked out. You serve an eternal God. He is not limited by the natural situation, the natural time. He's already beyond that. And so from the beginning of the world have been hid in God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Now the reason why he said that was to say a preemptive attack for the next verse. And the next verse has all the power. Look at verse 10. All that was for the intent that next year, next revival, next men's conference, next ladies' conference, next youth convention, next special this, special that. What did he say? Now, right now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Not the building, but the temple. You, I, the manifold wisdom of God. Now let me tell you what that means. Stay with me. Through the church, manifold is the multi various and greatly diversified wisdom of God known unto the world. You know what God is saying? I want to do some creative acts of my creative ability of who I am. My very nature is a nature of creativity, and my nature is going to be manifold in multifaceted ways through the church. So what am I saying? You got multi-level, multifaceted issues, and God says that's exactly what I wanted you to have so that I can allow my manifold wisdom to be shown to the entire world. Somebody raise your hand right now and get what I'm saying. Whatever your various problems you're dealing with, God is saying, I'm about to show up in a creative manner. I am doing a diversified flow. I got multi-levels of blessings in store for somebody. It's my intention to bless you. It's my intention for my will to be done. It's my intention for you to win. I am the Lord, creator of all things. There is not one thing that is done under the sun that is new unto me. And I need to reiterate my purpose once again to a group of believers that know me by my name, that right now you are facing a diversity of issues in your life, and in of yourself you've been doing. But what the word that I'm giving to you right now is just be, and be a worshiper, and be someone that believes in me, because I have great purpose and intentions for you, and that through you and through your trials and tribulations, my name is going to be glorified. And so trust me that I am a creative God, and I'm going to show you creative ways to show you that I am your God. Now give God a hand praise right now and receive the word of the Lord and say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Come on and magnify the name of the Lord like you believe it. Show God you believe that you're the head. Show God that you're a victorious vessel. Show God you're not a victim, but a victor. Show God you believe his word right now. Come on, shout unto God for your victory right now. Hallelujah! 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 Flow through us. Flow through us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now let me just speak the word of faith. We don't need any more hype. Some of you got addictions. Some of you are bound by nicotine. Throw it down in the name of Jesus. Lay it down. You got issues with pornography. Throw it down in the name of Jesus. You got issues with a lion spirit, a disruptive spirit. Some of you have the spirit of fear on your life. Throw it down in the name of Jesus. Throw down the alcohol spirit. Throw down the perverted spirit. Throw down the wrath and fear and envious spirit right now. Come on, I want somebody's hands like this to throw it. Cast it, cast it. Come on, cast it in faith. Cast it in faith. This is your day of victory. This is your day. It ain't another word. Cast it down in the name of Jesus. Go home and say, I'm rebuking some stuff. I'm getting rid of some stuff. It's already my victory. God has already said it. I'm leaving empowered. I'm leaving anointed. I'm leaving with the joy of the Lord in my life. Now, last thing and we leave. God intended for us to turn our world upside down. Acts 17:6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason. Okay, both of y'all, because y'all name is Jason. That's why I'm looking at you. These have turned the world upside down. Is it just the real world? No. Because not everybody was converted. But you know what it was? Their world. You all have your world that's been going a certain way. And you have a certain mentality about how life treats you and how life is going to be you. You're always on the bottom. You're always negative. You're always, things always bad happen to you. Well, when you get full of the Holy Ghost and the intent that God has, you're going to turn that world upside down. You receive it? So just say thank you. My world is going to change. My world is going to change. My expectations are different. God has a different end for me. God has an expected end for me. God has an end of peace. God has an end of great thoughts towards my life, and I receive it. I'm going to turn my world upside down. Things in my world are going to be different. Clap your hands if you believe it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. You go home empowered. Go home with a fight in your spirit. Go home with a spiritual attitude. Now, you know how we all act with a bad attitude. Ain't nobody want to be around you. Am I telling the truth? Don't look at your wives. You know how we are when we get a bad attitude. Come on, you guys. Tell the truth. You know how it is when you got a bad attitude. Okay? Take that same negative, bad attitude with spiritual authority and get a spiritual attitude and do some stuff as well. Tear some stuff up as well. Tell the devil he don't want nothing to do with you with your spiritual righteous indignation that you ain't having it no more. I hate to be carnal, and I need you guys to start walking out. So let's go. Go ahead and go. But you got to start saying, homie, don't play that.